Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do,
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I just thank you for allowing me into your work area. Thank you for allowing me into your living room space. Hallelujah. And then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast down. And I just thank those of you that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening archive. And I just know that God has a blessing engraved with your name on it, because we know that God is a God that blesses us. He says that he blesses a cheerful giver. So may it be in your talent or in your whatever area that you are being a blessing in sowing into God's kingdom, then God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. And so I just thank God for allowing me, like I said, to come back across these skyways and airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. And I would like to take this podium to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, 8 hours ago, even seconds ago. Hallelujah. And we just want you to know that you are not alone and that you have pilgrims, prayer warriors that's praying for you and with you in your hour of a great loss. So I want you to know that you might be bodily alone, but on the spiritual side, God has sojourners and pilgrims that are praying around the clock for you, and that God will restore your joy and return peace back unto your very soul. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to now go into our opening prayer. And each time that we come across this podium, this stage, we fail not, hallelujah, to acknowledge the holy deity that made all of this possible. So I want to present to him, I want to present to you and a man named Jesus. And I want to uh, I want to present to you, and then I want to, I done lost my thought, Father God. But anyway, as I first stated, I want to just present God unto you, a holy God. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our soon coming Messiah. God said he's going to crack those clouds one historical day in all of his glory and all of his beauty. Hallelujah. He said he's coming out this bridegroom, and that is the church. He also said that he's coming after church without spot or wrinkle. So God tell us to just stay ready, because we know not the hour that the Son of Man cometh. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he come as a thief in the night. So we just have to stay ready. Every day we have to stay ready. It's looking as Jesus is coming today, tonight, this hour, this moment, this second, this minute. We ought to stay ready and keep our breastplate of righteousness on. Hallelujah. And to be holy and to live holy and to act holy. Hallelujah. In our character. So we're going to go right now without any further ado into our opening prayer, asking those of you that will, that are listening live on this podcast program, The Old Ship of Zion, asking you to bow your beautiful heads as we go right down right now and acknowledge our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I want to present the psalm and introduce to others. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, a holy God, a righteous God that loves us. Hallelujah. So we're going to go right in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal home. We know that you have lining waiting, God, a home that's not built by mortal man, but you are the craftsman. You are the architect. You are the creator, God. And you will return in all of your glory one of these old days, God, historical days at that, and receive us unto yourself. But until that time is upon us, God, we will continue to mount up, God, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. To each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Won't take your praise, won't take your glory, God, but we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the church of God, a holy God, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to welcome all of you aboard the old ship of Zion. I have in reserve the chat room availability for your sitting and listening pleasure. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. And just thank God for being able to come across these airways and skyways. Hallelujah. It's been a few days since I've been on this line, but I tell you, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Hallelujah. So I just thank God for this opportunity to bring a word of encouragement to those that are hurting at this time of a lost, whatever the loss might be. May it be loss of a business, loss of a job, loss of possessions, loss of money, loss of love, loss of a best friend that say, you know, don't call me anymore. Don't darken my door again. Hallelujah. We know God is better than Humpty Dumpty. Because the old saying says that Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king horses and all the king mans couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I tell you what, I serve a God that's better than Humpty Dumpty. I serve a God that's got all power in his hand, all power in his wings. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm talking about the omnipotent God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is a native of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. With the Calvary cross for yours and mine and our sins. Hallelujah. And this world was placed upon his shoulders. But you know, God didn't stay in the grave but 3 days. That third day, the Bible tells us that he rose with all power in his hand. And he's sitting right now. He's not sitting on the left side. He's not sitting in the rear. He's not sitting in the corner, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of his Father. Hallelujah. Looking down on planet Earth over the good and the not-so-good. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for this opportunity to be able to come across this podium with the word from the Lord. I am scheduled to be with you. I had an hour, but as I was talking, my time was aggressively ticking away, so I bumped it up to an hour and a half. And I'm not going to be talking the whole hour and a half, but I'm going to split it in two parts. I'm going to bring you the program, and then we're going to change the dynamics of this program, and we're going to bring the second phase, which will be our hymns of Zion. We bring that so it will be a blessing unto your heart and your soul as an inspiration to uplift and encourage, hallelujah, your body and your soul. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program, hallelujah, that's already in progression. Hallelujah. And so I want you to just get you a good seat. I want you to bring all of your digital devices. Hallelujah. May it be your computer. May it be your tablet. May it be your smartphone. Whatever digital devices that you have, we want you to bring them aboard. Hallelujah. Because we're living in a digital world. Everything is pretty much digital. And if it's not digital, it's on its way of being digital or digitized. So we know that we're living in a digital world, a digital society, a digital nation. We are on our cell phones, and we're on our computers and our tablets, and we carry them along on our day-to-day itinerary. We carry them on our business trips. We carry them on wherever we go. If we go out of town on a cruise or engagement, speaking engagement, or just wherever God might lead us, we carry along our most prized possession, and that is our smartphone and our iPhone. I'll tell you, we can't seem to move along without them because they are a part of our livelihood. So we just want you to bring your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip aboard and allow me to bring unto you a rhema word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And so our theme on tonight, entitled A Good Neighbor. I want to say that one more time. Our theme on tonight, entitled A Good Neighbor. And we're going to give you an outline of what God detect as being a good neighbor. We're going to read from our first key scripture, hallelujah, and it reads like this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Leviticus 19 and 18. All right, we're going to move to our second key scripture, and it reads like this: Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. All right, we're going to keep it moving. The next key scripture reads this: Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Hallelujah. And the last key scripture reads this: Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 10 and 36. We're talking about a good neighbor. And somehow, the command to love doesn't get through to you and I and us. We may confess that we lack a strong faith, but seldom do we admit that we are defiant in our love. Perhaps we feel we're as loving as the next person, and maybe a little bit more. After all, we're sensitive to the hurt of other people. Our hearts goes out to battered wives and abused children. When we read about them in the newspaper, we shift uneasily in front of our TVs. When we see little children sobbing with hunger or sitting in silent despair beyond crying. But deep inside, we know that genuine caring reaching beyond feelings to action. Caring is like steam. Electricity isn't worth much unless something happened as a result of it. We find out that love without deeds is useless. Just as talent not demonstrated in creative ways is wasted. Both must be expressed, or they are no better than a myth. Because we can't do anything, we often don't do anything. If you and us, if you want to be a loving person, don't start by taking on the needs of the whole world, but you can start with caring about one person and build from there. You can't do everything, but you can do something. Hallelujah. What you can do, or you should do, today, this next moment, this next second, this next hour, hallelujah, determine that in the power and the grace of God, you will do it. We know that the Bible tells us to let us be Christ's proof disciples. looking to one another's needs, making stony pathways smoother by a gentle word or deed. We know that in a world that couldn't care less, you and I and us, we are to be the people who couldn't care more. Hallelujah. When was the last time that someone asked you for a favor, someone that was in need on the corner, digging in the garbage for a can, a bottle, a plastic container that would bring about some kind of monetary gain, but asked you for a coin, a dollar, and you walk right by them without any regards. You know, if we are to be Christ-centered and Christ-like, we are to adhere to the needs of our neighbor. We're talking about a good neighbor. And you know, there was a saying that says, just like a good neighbor, State Farm was there. Well, I got a new twist on that. Just like a good neighbor, you and I and us is there. If we are saying that we are Christ's children and children of God, we know just like a good neighbor, Jesus was there. Jesus was there on that cross when he whipped him 39 stripes across his back. Jesus was there when they nailed, large, gigantic tacks in his right hand, in his left hand. Then they placed one foot upon the other. And then they nailed tacks into his flesh. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Jesus was the good neighbor that died for the world's sins, yours and mine and ours, because we know that Jesus didn't have any sin. The Bible says that Jesus was without sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. So we was the sinners, we was the unwretched and undone sinners that had the stain of sin upon us. And it took someone that was spotless, that was sinless. He was the ultimate candidate. Even though yours and mine and our parents might have been one of the ones that wanted to go in our stead, but they was not the perfect candidate. It had to be a perfect candidate. My parents might want it to go. My mother might want it to go, but she was not the perfect candidate, because the candidate had to be without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the perfect good neighbor. Jesus is looking for some good neighbors on tonight. God is looking for some unselfish people that will go down into your wallet and your purse. Help those that are in need. Hallelujah. So we're going to get into our word, because, say, I'm getting excited. I'm getting, hallelujah, I'm getting just motivated, and I'm feeling good down off in my sanctified soul. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. So like I said, we're talking about good neighbors. We are to help those that are in need, those that need our love. We are to give them a hug, give them a kind word of encouragement. Let them know that they are not alone in this world, but they have you, they have us by their side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And you know, we can read about Paul. We're talking about the good neighbor. And so, Paul had warned that impressive gifts and spectacular deeds may be of little more than empty noise in the law of 1 Corinthians 13:1. He tell us, he said that our best effort, if it beset us, is love, said it rings hollow. And it tell us that he says that all my goods to feed the poor, but if you have not love, it profit me nothing. We know that the smallest loving act can hold eternal significance. No matter our age or status in this life, you and us, we all can strive to love others as God has loved you and us. We may accomplish great things in our lives. We can gain fame and fortune. But the greatest thing, hallelujah, is to love. For all that we have done or ever will do, only love endures. We depart, but love abides. We love because Jesus first loved you and us. He gave so we can give. We love because he first touched us. He died so we can live. Now, by faith and hope and love, the Bible tells us that these three, but the greatest of these, my sister and my brother, is love, love, love. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy and righteous name. We're talking about a good neighbor. We're talking about extending your hand to the widow, to the widower, to the orphanage, being a cheerful giver, opening up your heart and your hand. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tell us, he said, be a good neighbor. The Bible says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say that Jesus loved a cheerful giver. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And then if we be disobedient, God call us disobedient heathens. We're no longer labeled as a child of God, but we are labeled as heathens. We were disobedient. And the Bible tell us, says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. But whatsoever man soweth, that he will also reap. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 6:7. Hallelujah. And so we know that there have been women and children that have paid, hallelujah, a heavy price. Innocent people have paid for the greed of others in a horrific way, a horrific manner. But we know that there is not the only cost, because we know that we find out the Bible tells us that no man can put a change about the ankle of his fellow man without at last finding the others in fasten about his own neck. And so we know that the Apostle Paul not marked. But whatsoever a man sow, that he will also reap. We know that power words form a sharp reminder to you and I and us that our choices have consequences. When we fail to help those that are in need, when people of God come and ask you to assist them in what God has put in their pathway to do, and you sit there with a closed fist and a shut mouth, and you don't want to do anything to help that individual, there is consequences. So the Bible says that do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. But whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 6 and 7. As I have stated earlier. And that, my sister and my brother, includes how we choose to treat others in the body of Christ. When we choose the hate, that hate can return to us in the form of consequences that you and I and us can never fully prepare for. We'll find ourselves alienated from others, angry with ourselves, hamstrung in an ability to serve Christ effectively. But instead, you and I and us, let's choose not to grow weary while doing good. For the Bible tells you and I and us, he says, in due season we shall reap as we have opportunity. Let us do good to all. We know that sowing seeds of greed and hatred reaps corruption, loss, and pain. But if we sow love and kindness, we will reap eternal gain. We know that the seeds we sow today determines the kind of fruit you and I and us will reap on tomorrow. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. That was an individual that was having a birthday in just, I believe, a few days. And he told his mate, he said, that he didn't want anything. He said that whatever you was going to give me for my birthday, he wanted that to be given away. He said he wanted to be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us, he says, for us to give willingly, not grudgingly or out of necessity, but to support God's work and to help people. When somebody asks you to assist, and you know that you may say, well, I might not have a lot, or I might not can give, you know, a great big seed offering, but God knows your heart. And God knows, he says, that God blesses you, that when you give from your heart, God knows that you're giving all that you have. And so God says that this kind of free will giving often results in joy for the giver. And I'm reminded that when King David had donated his personal stash of gold and silver to help build the temple, many Israelites officials followed his example. After they contributed bronze, iron, and gemstone and precious metal, the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. In the law of 1 Chronicles 29 and 9, and it says that as part of the celebration, David, praise God, saying, of your own we have given you. Verse 14. And we know that his point was that God owns everything. Remember this, allow you and I us to give eagerly because we are just returning our resources to the rightful owner, God himself. So I would encourage you, the next time you contribute cash and service or belongings to support a cause of Christ, examine your attitude. Are you giving freely or willingly? We know that God loves a cheerful giver. And he says that much. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Hallelujah. So we know that how we give is more important than how much we give. So it doesn't matter the amount that you give. It's the heart that counts. It's the love that counts. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And God says that he blesses a cheerful giver. And so we are to help in the kingdom work of God. If we are to say that we are in God and we love God, how much more can we prove that we love God and God's people than to help in some sort of way? May it be small, medium, or large. It doesn't matter. Because it all derived from your heart. God said he loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And we're talking about a good neighbor on tonight. Hallelujah. We're talking about a good neighbor. And we know that one person in particular that we knew demonstrated being a good neighbor, and that was Mr. Roger. We find out that Mr. Roger told journalist said that, he said, we look at our neighbor with appreciative eyes, with gratitude for who that person truly is. He says, then I feel we are arm in arm with Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that awesome? He said that we look at our neighbor in appreciative eyes with gratitude for who that person truly is. Then we are arm in arm with Christ Jesus. We know that the advocate of eternal good, because we know that Mr. Roger recognized the value of each individual. He believed in being a good neighbor to all. So when Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? He told the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 and 29 through 35. And at the conclusion of the story, the Lord asked, which of these three do you think was neighbors to him who fell among the thieves? And his answer, he who showed mercy on him, verse 36 through 37. Who, hallelujah, in our neighborhood need a kind word. An arm of friendship. An act of encouragement today. You know, Jesus called you and I us to show love and compassion to others. As we love God with all of our heart, and our neighbors as ourselves. Hallelujah. You can ask yourself, how many lives can I touch today? How many neighbors will pass my way? I can bless so many and help so much if I meet each one with a Christ-like touch. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy and righteous name. Your neighbor, hallelujah, is not just across the street, not just next door, around the bend, around the corner, anyone that has asked you for an assistant to help them in some sort of way. God wants us to be loving neighbors. God said, love your neighbor. If you love yourself, you love your neighbor. You cannot look in the mirror and say, I love me, and you don't love your neighbor. And your neighbor is not just next door, as I first stated, across the street, down the road, in the alleyway, under the bridge. Hallelujah. On the avenue, on the boulevard. Hallelujah. But your neighbor is anyone that you meet on this life journey. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we know that your love for your neighbor should be your proof of your love for God. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged in your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion, so your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600. You're California 95020. You can also log on to our web page at www.janicewardministries.org. And I want to make this announcement. I have some orphanage children over in India, South India, Chalinga, South India, that I am hosting this year in the form of a fundraiser page, and it's GoFundMe. And the title of the page of the GoFundMe is Dress Up Holiday Dolls. And that's the website that I have for these beautiful children of God. All they're asking for is a Christmas dress. And that will not only enlighten their heart on the inside, but clothes their body on the outside. And if any small token of love that you can render unto this ministry, God is going to bless you, hallelujah, back. I don't know the volume of which God will bless you, because that's God's doing. That's on his own thing, on how he want to bless you. But I know that you can't be God given, no matter how you and I try. So if you would be so kindly, I've made the first endowment of $25. So if you can so graciously match that donation, all proceeds, hallelujah, from this fundraiser campaign goes strictly for that cause. I don't get a dime. I don't touch a dime. GoFundMe is the one that's over that page. It will be the one that will distribute the money to India. So if you can find it in your heart to help Overseer Janice Ward in this endeavor, I am appealing to you all tonight to help me to make these children Christmas a little brighter. Hallelujah. And God will bless you back. And you can go and log on to GoFundMe. And the title of that page is, because I don't have the website in front of me, but just, like I said, just log on to GoFundMe. And the title of that page is Dress Up Holiday Dolls. And I would be so appreciative if you would help me. If you love God and you love you love me, and we're talking about loving your neighbor as I love you, you would help in whatever way. No amount is too small. Whatever you can render, God will bless you back. And so I am appealing to you, all of my listeners, all of my followers on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and those that know me out here in the free world. I am appealing to you on tonight to help me to help them with a new dress before the 25th of December. And so right now we're going to change the dynamics of this program. We're going to turn you over to the second phase, and that is Hymns of Zion, to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. If you have any prayer petitions at this time, you are welcome to call in to the studio, and that number is 646-200-3074, 646-200-3074. Up next, Hymns of Zion. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Somebody touched me, but after a while, Right from wrong, you out of danger when danger was around me.
Sometimes